I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles today to the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we'll be in the 6th chapter. The book of 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter. As we consider God's Word today, I know that as we come to these passages, these chapters really, 5, 6, and 7, each of them speaks to us very clearly and powerfully in some ways about sexual immorality. And I think it's something that the church needs to know and hear and understand, that the Word of God gives us clear instruction about how we are to walk together, about how we are to relate to not only one another but to people in the world, and also that He has given us some very clear instructions about how this experience is to be understood. Now, these three chapters, it seems like, okay, we're just really hammering on this, preacher. We're gonna really look at a couple of different portions of this passage with an understanding of other things that God is trying to bring about out of chapter 6 as well, even as we look at the importance of choosing holiness as we walk in relationship to one another and to the Lord. The end of this chapter has a verse that really, I think, needs to drive our thinking about everything else that is said in this chapter. The end of the chapter says that, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body." I wanted to read that up front just because I think as we set the tone for this message today, we are setting the tone for an attitude of bringing glory to God with all that He has given to us. And of course, the very beginning of what He has given to us is our body, it's our flesh. And yet we also know that in our flesh and out of our flesh, we find some of the greatest struggles and trials and the things that lead us to the greatest difficulties in sin, in the process of that. And I think one of the statements I want to make, I'm going to reiterate it once or twice in the message, but one of the statements I want us to hear today is that really sin is at its very foundation and at its biggest place is disagreement with God, and then acting upon our disagreement with God. And so I want us to remember that as we walk through life every day. We need to understand that the living of life for the glory of God and understanding how righteousness is displayed in our lives begins with agreeing with God. Can someone come to faith in Christ if they don't believe, if they don't agree with God? For there will be nothing but continued rebellion and no evidence of repentance if we do not agree with God. And I believe that is so important as we navigate the difficult waters of our culture today, that we first of all need to be in a place where we are in agreement with God. And that means that we're in agreement with God about what He describes and defines as sin, as He has given us revelation in His Word and about His character. But it also means, and I think this is one of those parts that it's so hard to bring it together in understanding, but it also means that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So friends, today as we think about it, as we talk about the realities of sin, we also want to always remember that agreeing with God also means that His love is overshadowing and is overarching all of what He has done in relationship to humankind. He has created us really as an object of his love, if you will think of it that way. He has created us, and he said about man and woman, when he created them, he said, "It is very good. It is very good." All the rest of creation, he just said, "It's good. It's good." And of course, all of the rest of creation, we see, wow, it's amazing. But God said, "It's good." But with humanity, he said, "It is very good." And he loves you and me. But we also find in that very beginning that he brought about in this experience in the garden that there was this reality that sin entered into the hearts because they came to this place where they were tempted and they decided to disobey God, to disagree with God, and choose to agree, if you will. And you need to think about it this way sometimes. You need to understand that when they first made a decision to disobey God, they decided that it was okay to disagree with his statement for what had God said. "You shall not eat of this tree, the fruit of this tree in the garden, for in the day that you eat it, you will surely die." That is what God had said. So they needed to agree with that. They needed to go along with that, and they need to continue in understanding that in obedience. And yet, when the devil came along and brought temptation, they both decided to agree with the statement that the devil made, the enemy of God, and agree with him and say, "Well, I guess we won't die. He said we won't die. In fact, he said that our eyes will be open." You see, we must agree with God about sin. And so as we read this passage, I want us to understand what he is saying to us. And so from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 1. And here it says, "If any of you has a dispute against another, how dare you take it to court before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or don't you know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the trivial cases? Don't you know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? So if you have such matters, do you appoint as your judges those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be there is not one wise person among you who is able to arbitrate between fellow believers? Instead, brother goes to court against brother, and that before unbelievers. As it is, to have legal disputes against one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do this to brothers and sisters. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are a part of Christ's body? So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it a part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to the prostitute is one body with her? For Scripture says, the two will become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you, and sometimes as we spend time in passages like what Paul wrote to the churches of Ephesus, and Galatia, Colossae, and even 1 Corinthians, we sometimes forget what is so clearly stated in these chapters here in the middle of 1 Corinthians. And Father, we sometimes can neglect other portions that might speak clearly about our relationships in this world and about our behaviors along the way. Our Father, we pray that today, as we open this portion, that that we'll be clear to hear what your Spirit would have to say to us. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me until I'm all yours. Lord, may it be that we will indeed have a heart and a spirit and a focus of glorifying you with our bodies. Thank you, Father. And we give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to move fairly quickly through some of this morning, partially because we're going to revisit a portion of it next week because of similar instructions and at least like passage. But as we think of it today, I have four thoughts I want to share with you. And let me just begin by saying that as members of the family of God, as Christians, we are members of the family of God, and we are members of the body of Christ. This is something that the Apostle Paul reminds us of in this portion. And I think a part of what he's trying to tell us here is we need to relate to one another as though we are one, as though we belong to each other, and as though we belonged to Christ. This portion that is spoken to us about lawsuits, those kinds of things, I think one of the things that you and I really need to remember and keep in focus is that we should not ever come to a place in relationship with one another that we would have a reason to bring a charge, to bring a charge of that ought to go to court. We should be a people who are ready to walk with one another. I'm not going to suggest that it never would happen. But what Paul is saying is that we, first of all, need to be dedicated and focused enough in our relationship with Christ that we remember that as Christians we belong to the body of Christ and that we walk together as one. There are times, perhaps, when relationships might fail within the body of Christ. You know that's true. You perhaps have been a part of the experience of some of that. But I think what Paul is wanting us to remember is that there ought to be nothing that is so big that we cannot resolve it between us. And there should not be any accusation that could be brought. Because by the time we've brought it to this place of shame, we've already lost the battle. That's a key statement that Paul makes to us. Don't be deceived, he said. By the time you get there, it's already a defeat for you in verse 7. And then he says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Now, I'm going to tell you as your pastor, you better not be cheating each other. I'm going to tell you as your pastor, you need to have deep and abiding respect for one another as you walk with each other. In life, and particularly as well in the body of Christ, for you belong to him. We are members of the family of God. We are members of the body of Christ. So we learn to relate well to each other. And sometimes that's a choice. We have to make some choices sometimes. So we choose to relate well to each other. And we choose to walk in love. Sometimes, you know, as you go to church, you're thinking about sometimes people that you just really can't wait to see because you love them so much. You really enjoy being around those individuals, and you know that they love you and that they have a relationship with you that is a blessing to them, and you find as well that they are a blessing to you. And so we choose sometimes I skipped a statement. While that is true, sometimes we go and we know that there's someone who may be thinking a little bit off about us. You know, there may be that we feel like or maybe just somebody looked at us a certain way or somebody said a certain thing that we didn't really know how to take. And so we're really not sure what to do when we're going to see them again. We don't, and so, you know, we might want to, you know, we might keep our distance. We might walk down the other hall because we're just not sure. But the reality is, and the thing I want to say is sometimes we just have to choose. We have to choose to love one another. Because that is an intentional act when we love one another. When we love one another, we make a choice. And certainly, sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's not easy. And so there will be times that we will choose to love one another. And then along with that, we need to then choose forgiveness when we are wronged and when we're struggling with a brother or a sister in Christ. We need to choose forgiveness. How easy is that, right? No, wait a minute. This person offended me. This person said something that maybe, you know, maybe they had no idea, but it hurt me deeply. Sometimes that happens in conversations and in relationships with someone, and they said something that hurt, and we don't know what to do with that. And sometimes if we're hurt, we might be willing to go to that person and confront that person. But even in that time, as we confront that person and that person demonstrates an element of sorrow and is willing to say, please forgive me, we need to choose to forgive. We need to be ready to forgive. Because you know what happens when you don't forgive? That means you walk with bitterness everywhere you go. You know, I at one time thought, well, you know, just every time that person... you know, if I have offended somebody, every time that person sees me, then they're just going to be bitter toward me. But you know what? They walk around with bitterness, just plain old bitterness to everybody. And it comes out in all relationships, even the ones they don't want it to. And they have this experience of bitterness that is a part of their life. And we don't want to live in bitterness. We have been told, we have been given clear instruction that we should not have this experience of bitterness. And the only way to deal with bitterness in our lives is to admit it, to confess it if we're the ones that are bitter, and recognize that that is also sin, and probably as serious in relationship as even the first thing that brought the offense. And we need to remember that we need to come to Christ and allow him to take those things, those hurts, and choose also forgiveness when we are wronged by a brother or a sister in Christ. I want to encourage you and challenge you today. If there is bitterness in your heart about somebody in the body of Christ, whether it's somebody that's in the room today or somebody who is perhaps absent today or somebody that you haven't seen for a little while, if you have bitterness in your heart towards someone, I want to ask you to start with praying. Pray for that person and pray for their heart and pray that that you would be able then to forgive them and help each other come to a place of peace and resolution, and then again be able to step forward and move forward with joy. If you have bitterness, don't let it fester, because all it does is make everything hurt. All it does is make everything hurt. If you have a toothache, or if you have a splinter, a big splinter that you can't get out and it's festering, if you have a stubbed toe that makes it difficult to walk, it affects everything. Any of those things affect all of life. I know. I know. And my friends, today, we need to choose forgiveness, and we need to take whatever steps we can take to bring healing, to bring a resolution, to bring a peace that's given simply because we have learned to forgive and learned to love in that way. And then the second thing I want to say is this: we need to be choosing holiness in life. Choosing holiness is to agree with God about sin. I've already given some explanation about this, but let me just say to you today, in our culture today and in our personal lives today, there may be things that are a part of life, of your life or the life of another person that you are concerned for, that you have just accepted as okay. But let me just remind you that in our culture, there are a lot of things today that aren't okay. And that in just personal relationships, there are a lot of things that are not okay. And my friends, we can't pull punches when we read the Word of God. We have to understand and we have to agree with God when God describes the kinds of relationships that we need to have with other people. I believe we need to speak lovingly about it. I believe we need to look our fellow person in the eye and be able to say, I don't have something against you, but I believe and agree that God has something against this sin. And that's not that even you're going to get a lot of opportunity to speak about it. But my friends, the Church of America is dying, and in many cases dead today, because we have accepted and received and allowed the ongoing behavior and activity that is very clearly stated in God's Word as unholy and as unrighteous and as being a part of that which will not in any way be approved for the kingdom of God. And as we see this, it's painful, because sometimes we have people that we love who are involved and who are practicing such things. But because of that, do we just forget what the Scripture has revealed about the character of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God? We cannot do that. Do we cease to love the person? Absolutely not. Whether it is someone close in a family, or whether it's a friend, or whether it is someone who has come into our lives, and we need to, in one way or another, have a spirit and an attitude where we will both love and yet continue to be able to proclaim the truth of God's Word. And to proclaim the truth of God's Word is simply this: what God has said is what He's revealed to us about His character. And therefore, we need to follow Him. And we need to agree with Him. And we need to help others to come to a place where they understand that it is a good thing to agree with God. Choosing holiness is to agree with God about sin. You see, having a desire and having something that makes us feel a certain way doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it righteous. And we need to agree with God. We could spend a lot of time on that. Let me do you a favor. I won't right now. But as we think about this, I want us to remember that in life and in walking in righteousness and in the praying for others and in the praying even for revival of our spirits, of our own hearts along the way, we need to be agreeing with God about our own sin, about and helping others around us understand what it means to agree with God about His holiness and about His righteousness. You see, we are a part of Christ. We won't spend a lot of time here right now, but it goes through and it tells us from verses 12 on through verse 20 that we need to be about the business of glorifying Christ. And let me just say to you that as we consider that, we're going to revisit really all of that last half of the chapter next week. Because as we consider those things, there are some important things that we need to talk about. And so we want to be about the work, though, of glorifying God in our body and in our spirit. We want to glorify Him, both in our body, our flesh, and in our spirit. All that we are, all that we think, all that we allow to impact our attitudes. Because indeed, we are bought with a price. We're going to speak about that more clearly next week, that portion of that passage. So today, I want to just remind you and challenge you, as you walk in life, to agree with God. As you read His Word and it speaks to you personally, as it touches your own spirit, as it touches your own mind, where you are convicted of sin in your life, you know the best thing you can do is just simply agree with God. Because not agreeing with God will allow you to continue to go on in your misery and in your argument and in your frustration. Because people who disagree with God find themselves butting their heads up against a brick wall because God is God. And His truths are true and they are firm. And we need to agree with Him. And as we agree with God, as we demonstrate love for God, then we find peace, we find joy, we find a contentment for moving forward. And life is full of joy. It's what He wants for you and for me. And so, let's not walk forward with an intent to disagree. Let's worship and love Him and agree with who He is and live our lives for His glory and His pleasure. Father, this morning, as we have come to this moment, we just pray that we would, in our personal lives, recognize that what You've said in Your Word is really pretty clear. And that it doesn't matter whether we would like to figure out a way to justify it or try to twist Your words into such a fashion that we could say that anything is okay. God, what You have revealed is that not everything is okay. And that we need to come to a place where we agree with You in order to live and walk in the holiness that You've called us to. And in the purity of relationship with You. God, may we treat each other well. And where we find ourselves walking alongside of someone who is walking in disagreement with You, disobedience to Your word, and sin, Father, may we alongside of them reflect the love of Christ and seek to help them come to agreement and a clear knowledge of your grace and forgiveness to help them. Lord, in this time, will you be glorified even now? We give praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. There may be a place in your life where you've been walking in rebellion to the Lord. There may be a place in your life where you've been in disagreement with God about something. It may have to do with relationships. It may have to do with the way that you walk through life with your financial matters. It may have to do with other things that just simply you know are displeasing to God. It may have to do with attitudes that keep you from being free in relationships with other people. Whatever it might be, I want to call you today to agree with God. And if you're not really sure, you know that you've been convicted of sin, but you're not sure exactly where to find what God has said, then let's get together and talk about that. Let's pray and read the Word together and see what God has to say about this thing that you know is a problem between you and Him. Because you don't want to harbor that. You don't want to hide that. You don't want to live with that. You want to be at peace with God. Let's stand together. And as we sing together, I would invite you, if you need to place your faith and trust in Jesus, then I would invite you to do that today. But if you also need to deal with something else that God is working on you in your life, it might have something to do with what we talked about today, or it may have nothing to do with that, I would invite you. Will you come? Let's pray together. Let's seek God's word, and let's grow up into Him. Let's sing together.